The American walks every day, normal, going to work. He's walking downtown in Manhattan, and all of a sudden, two planes hit the Twin Tower, and they have no clue why would somebody do such a thing.
Deliberate and deadly attacks, which were carried out yesterday against our country, were more than acts of terror. They were acts of war.
Radical Islam has declared the war. Radical Islam is at war now with the West.
When I saw the second airplane hit, I knew jihad has come to America.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
The Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by the no-pork-eating American lover, Al. How you doing, Big Al?
Hey, I'm doing great. It is good to be here as always. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you. Hanging in there. Busy day today and kind of a lot of distractions, so I apologize to the Global Patriot fans out there that I didn't get the tweet out today in time. And just this thing called work gets in the way. It just cramps your style, you know? Time to retire. Go to move to Florida.
Bingo.
Play golf every day. You know what? Drink some. What do you drink down there? Pina coladas and what's that Wuhan? The Corona. That's it. Corona.
The ice cold Corona.
The ice cold
delicious.
Corona.
Delicious any time of the day because it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Join the rest of the New Yorkers who have moved down to Florida. Hey, how you doing? Yeah. So PGA News yesterday. Did you watch any of it over the weekend?
Of course. It was a great tournament.
The Byron Nelson Classic played in McKinney, Texas. It was held this past weekend, and what a tournament. PGA men were shooting lights out for the first time in over a month. Thursday's round saw a 60 shot by Sebastian Munoz from, I believe he's from where? Chile? No, he's from Colombia, right? I think. He led, he tied for the lead for three of the four rounds. And Sunday's round, Xander Schauffele finished early, carding at 11 under 61 to take the early lead at 23 under par in the clubhouse. And the significance of that was this guy was three over par on Saturday, on Thursday. He makes the turn. He goes into Friday's round. It looks like he's not even going to make the cut. And then he has three birdies. He gets back to even on Friday morning on the front nine. And he shoots – and he goes ballistic. He shoots like six under par on the back. Now the guy's like six under par. And so he heads into – the into Saturday's round, and he continues to shoot lights out. This guy, and you know, that's the problem with Xander Schauffele. He can't put four rounds together. And, you know, this guy could be dominating the tour as long as he hits it and as well as he hits it, and he's not a bad putter. Anyways, he ends up 23 under par, but the leaders still have like, they have 15 holes to play. And so it didn't bode well, but I got to say, he did well. But this past month, conditions have been brutal every week of the tour. But this week, the guys just absolutely killed it. Sunday's round, Jordan Spieth teased us once again. He flirted with the lead and challenged for the lead. But the stud of the week was a defending champion, K.H. Lee of South Korea, who went on a tear Sunday, including knocking a fairway shot. Now, you had to see this. That fairway shot, par five, he knocked it to the green in two within 5 feet. And on the 18th hole, on a par five, KH Lee was leading by one shot. He's got 235 in for his second shot. He hits a three wood to the right side of the green. It looks like it's going to be offline, go off the green. But boom, he hits the side of the fringe of the green, and it takes a bounce to the left, and it circles back, not a Jen Psaki circle back, but it actually really did circle back to the back of the green, and he came down the hill, and it rests on the green about 30 feet from the pin. If he eagles the hole, the tournament's over, no matter what Jordan Spieth does, who is playing in the group behind him. But Lee put it right up. I mean, he put it right on line to the cup, and he came up one revolution short of going in, you know, falling in for an eagle, but he taps in for a birdie. So now Jordan Spieth has to eagle the hole in order to tie and force a playoff. And Spieth hit the green in two, but actually hit the fringe, and he hit a high shot. It hits the fringe, and it just stops. It stopped. I mean, he hit a high cut, and it took one bounce, boom, and it stopped. And it's like, how did that not go forward? I mean, that ball should have bounced forward. It would have rolled down to the hill. He would have 10-foot for an eagle and would have made it interesting. But in the end, Jordan Spieth chipped it. He missed it a foot to the left, and K.H. Lee ends up winning back-to-back. I mean, wow.
Yep.
26 under par. Just whoa.
In a winning day of $1.638 million.
Whoa.
Mr. Lee. That's a nice payout. Jordan Spieth, $991,000. And you're right, Xander Schauffele, I think, is the story for the tournament. The way he came back like that with a 61.
You know, I'm going to take a point of personal privilege on this one because I got to tell you, I don't know if you caught it, but did you see Hideki? And I'm sorry, guys, Hideki Matsuyama, Japan. He made a surge at the end as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was I think 62. It was on the 14th hole. He had a five wood, 200. He had 237 yards to the pin uphill, a little into the wind, and he hit the five wood, and Colt Knost. He's a former PGA player, U.S. amateur champ. He was given the commentary, and he goes, guys, I can't believe this, but Hideki has a five-wood, and he's got 237 to the pin uphill. He says, a little into the wind, and he hits. He goes, whoa, that looks pretty good. And he said something in the commentary that was like, here is a tour pro making such a comment like, oh, be right, baby, or something like that. And it was like, I thought that was the coolest moment of lauding a player for hitting such a beautiful shot, and Hideki Matsuyama knocks the ball stiff like to 4 feet on a 237-yard uphill into the wind 5-wood. I thought that was really cool. So I don't know. Colt knows commentary. I got to give him props because that was really, really a good, just a kind of a professional statement that he made. And it was, I got a kick out of it. I had to tweet it yesterday too. I tweeted it out last night after he said it. It was like, man, that was really cool.
Well, it's good to see because the announcers, in my opinion, have their putters so far up their ass half the time. They never say anything positive. It's always negative. And it's good to see the announcers having some fun out there and cheering on a player. I think it's great for the same reasons that you enjoyed it so much, because it's a rarity, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that I like former players as announcers. I mean, I'm a big fan of Gary Koch. I really do enjoy their commentary, and if you get the guys that are half goofy but not really goofy, that can give good commentary. Peter Costas gives good commentary on the on the course. But I was impressed with Colt Knost. I really was. It was a cool comment that he made, and it was like, wow, this guy made it sound fun. And it was like, bang! I liked it. It was cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you got the chance to see it.
Nick Faldo, find another profession. Then you let him go.
You know, I'll take Nick Faldo over Dan Hicks any day.
Point. Yep. Agreed.
I can't stand Dan Hicks. And he interrupts the player. He interrupts the announcers, and they're in a good flow. I can't find the comment, but I'm going to have to, if I find it, I'll, anyways, it was just a cool comment.
And Faraday is the best, in my opinion. He's
my
favorite.
Oh, my God. He says some things. Oh, here it is. He goes, here's what Colt Knost said. He goes, oh, this is launched in the air. And this is what got me. He goes, talk to me. And it was like, I love it. Talk to me. That was really cool. Honest to God. He said, talk to me. I mean, that's a touring pro, you know, just telling it like it is.
Yeah. Now, do you have a 5-wood in your bag or a 5-rescue like he hit?
I do.
Yeah.
Yep.
How far do you normally hit yours?
I hit it usually at 217 is my max on it. But I will tell you this. Yesterday, I had 227 to a back pin on a short par 5. I drove it into the water, and I had to take a drop. And they had 227, and I launched a 5-wood, and I knocked it to 4 feet.
Whoa, and that was over water in front of the green. That was mighty risky.
And I said, talk to me. No, so that was the furthest I've hit it. That was absolutely the furthest I hit it. So 217 is my max on it.
That's a studly shot right there.
Yeah.
You Luca'd that one.
I've been working out. I've been lifting weights and going through some swing changes, and I'm really loving it. I really am. I'm enjoying it. I've got some power back and good to hear.
So everybody, get off the couch.
Yeah.
Go to the gym. Take a walk around the block. It'll do you good.
We moved the refrigerator out of the kitchen. We moved it to the furthest room, so I get a lot of action now.
That's extreme.
Hey, I want to say hello to Bigfoot, our big patriot in the chat room, and I encourage you all to go to his blog spot. It's www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blog spot. He had a lot of action this last 4 days in there, and some great stories. And I love reading. Ducky from the Northwest, and hello, Sue from New Mexico. Nice to see you, Sue, and I hope you are feeling better. And you take care of yourself. One other thing. just so it don't forget, Airwaves of America, G-Ski and Dave, they've temporarily suspended the show from Friday, so they'll let us know when they'll be back. So, but G-Ski is feeling well. So,
good, good.
Yeah. Friday was Baghdad Bob Jensaki, aka Jen Psaki's last day as White House press secretary. She's passing the baton to the racist Karine Jean Jean. These leftists are going to circle back with Jen Psaki going to MSNBC and the racist Karine Jean-Pierre coming from MSNBC. So she called all Trump people racist and she called Republicans racist, Fox News racist, and she's allowed to get away with it. Remember Anthony Scaramucci for the Trump administration? He lasted less than a week because of a tweet that was found and about calling somebody a racist interpreted as being a racist remarks. And the left has different standards. Actually, they have no standards. So they'll have another propaganda princess to take over from the original propaganda princess. And Jen now goes to MSNBC where she can lie sitting on a chair. Yeah, she was awful. I mean, she was absolutely awful. I mean, you talk about a woman that just doesn't – I mean, here we got this little soundbite here. She stands at the podium, and she shuffles papers. That's all she did. She gives non-answers. She lied. And it's interesting because the Ministry of Truth – that has been unconstitutionally put in place by the Biden-Harris regime should start with their own administration with regards to the Ministry of Truth. Even though it's an unconstitutional, anti-American program that's been set up unilaterally by the president, bonehead Biden. So Joe Obama thought it was okay to circle around the U.S. Constitution and start an unconstitutional office, which I hope that that Rand Paul sticks to the guns and he files a bill defunding this particular office. It's unconstitutional and it's un-American and it's nothing but a traitor. That's all. It's Trader Joe. That's what we should call them. Trader Joe's. No offense to the grocery store. Tomorrow, Pennsylvania has its primary election. Key races in Pennsylvania are the governor's primary race and the U.S. Senate race. And, Al, I've not kept up with the race, but Dr. Oz is running for the GOP, is one of the candidates for the GOP for the U.S. Senate, and he's in a heated battle with Kathy Barnett and Jeff Bartos, a former candidate for lieutenant governor, and David McCormick, former U.S. Treasury undersecretary. I was a bit surprised with Dr. Oz when I read in PJ Media, comments that he made calling Kathy Barnett an Islamophobe. And I thought, first of all, did he say that? And then I'm reading, PJ Media, and certainly he did. And he used the word Islamophobia and homophobia. And here we go. And so what he said, what Dr. Oz accused Kathy Barnett was of comparing Islam to Nazism. And this was designed to make the sheep who read Mediaite think that Barnett had sinned unforgivably against the noble religion of peace. But here is what Barnett actually said. Kathy Barnett made this comment. You are not a racist if you reject Islam. I don't see anything wrong with that comment. You're not a racist. If you reject Islam, you are not a racist. If you reject Muslims because they are not a race of people, they are a particular view. They are people that have a particular view of the world, and we have a right to discriminate against worldviews. I don't see anything wrong with that comment, do you?
Nope.
We discriminated against Hitler's Nazi Germany's view of the world, right? And she's absolutely right there. I mean, look at World War II. Look how cohesive the Western world got, together, and they fought back this imperialism of the Japanese and Nazism. Okay, I mean, that was the worldview. That's how he saw the world around him, and we discriminated against it. We rejected it. We rejected Stalin's view of the world, right? Because that's a particular view of the world that we don't agree with. We don't agree with communism. And so I guess that prompted an outrage and Dr. Oz from calling her an Islamophobic. And I thought that was kind of odd. And it was disappointing. But you've got more on this. Go ahead.
Oz is a Muslim. He has questionable backgrounds. His parents dropped, Mrs. Oz dropped Mehmet in America, so he became an American citizen by birth, and the parents went back to Turkey. Dr. Oz never rejected his Turkish citizenship. I believe he is a dual citizen. He voted in the Turkish election but opted not to vote in the American election. Now, the AKP, which is Erdogan, who runs Turkey, he's the authoritarian. He wants to be the caliph. He sees himself as the caliph to rule the Muslim world. He's a bad guy. And Dr. Oz, pictures of him shaking hands with President Erdogan, and he has a questionable past. And how this got by President Trump, I think President Trump missed the boat on his public backing of Mehmet Oz.
Yeah, I kind of surprised. That's what kind of floored me with the comments, but that he, you know, accusing Barnett of being Islamophobic, and you know, I don't know. I just it was disappointing. So, but I haven't been following the race. I do know that I've heard some comments today that the percentage has shrunk between Oz's lead over Barnett, and I think it was Bartos, but I'm not sure. I thought he was close in there as well. So that so tomorrow is the primary race for both Democrats and Republicans in Pennsylvania. How much cheating will occur? Only the Democrats know.
Yep. Bottom line, Dr. Oz's toxic entanglements cannot be undervalued. They must, I think they're going to knock him out of the race, as they should, hopefully.
Yeah, you know, he's just basically a celebrity unlike Donald Trump. You know, just kind of like disappointing, very disappointed.
He says all the right things. Don't get me wrong. He says the right things at the right time. But
so
the background story just doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up. So we'll keep an eye on that race tomorrow. It should prove to be interesting. But whoever wins that primary has to then defeat a Democrat challenger so that the balance of power can start shifting in the United States Senate. And I know it's just a swamp, but, you know, maybe some outside candidates, outside of D.C. Beltway candidates going into Washington, D.C., we can really fundamentally start shaking up this incestuous cesspool that exists in Washington, D.C. in the swamp and really start to affect change and start sending these old white guys packing like Chuck Schumer and the likes who have been running roughshod and abusing and using taxpayer money and taxpayers as their funding source. It's time. Things have got to change, and the way we can affect change is start getting rid of some of this old establishment swamp dwellers. Antifa, guess this, the Democrat Party violent arm strikes yet again. And this was in, I forgot what newsletter it was, but an Antifa thug has been arrested for setting fire to a synagogue. So, again, the Democrat Party violent armed strikes again, the anti-Semites of the Democrat Party. I'm tired of these Antifa claiming they are fighting fascists and racists, where in reality they are the real fascists and the racists. And that caught my eye because it's an appropriate and it's an apt description. It perfectly defines Antifa. They are the fascists. They are the racists. They are the violent individuals. In fact, it's not their opposition that is violent. It's themselves. Take the example of pro-Antifa journalist Mike Bivens. Bivens has been arrested for arson in the case of burning two synagogues and a mosque. And in the case of the mosque, Bivens tried to burn the occupants to death. Now, would it surprise you to find that this occurred in Portland, Oregon? If so, why? Why does Antifa commit such violence? So here you have Antifa, the violent arm of the Democrat Party, setting fire to a mosque. And of course, you know, you've got the Muslim Brotherhood front groups who want to condemn and like to indict, you know, right wing immediately. And of course, here is one of their fellow left wingers who shows his true colors, his true anti-Muslim colors. Because the cities are run by Democrats and they are birds of a feather, and because they can get away with it. Update number three, arson suspect arrested, charged with crimes related to multiple incidences. So Michael E. Bivens, 34, of Portland, was booked this morning in the Multnomah County Detention Center on following cases and charges. So may he rot. So he's got four charges against him. The Congregation of Shir Tikva and the Congregation of Beth Israel, graffiti on the synagogue, broken window at a synagogue, fire to occupied mosque at the Muslim Community Center of Portland, and the Congregation of Beth Israel, large rock thrown through the library window, criminal mischief in the first degree. So I wonder how come the media doesn't quickly go to the hate crime. Oh, that's right. It was against the Jews. That's right. Never mind. I answered my own questions. The left-wing media will just, you know, push this aside. It was just another one of the Antifa myths that were violent and destroying and showing their true anti-Semitic colors. So, and all right. So, got a couple of audio clips. And this first one, and the funny thing was, you and I had no idea, and we both were on the same page on this one. And I'll tell you, I really do get a kick out of Greg Gutfeld. And last Tuesday, Greg Gutfeld had a rant before his show, and it's 8 minutes. And I got to tell you, he nails it. He nailed it on 3 points, and he has a way with words. And I just love the fact that Greg Gutfeld doesn't hold back. So it's like 8 minutes and 23 seconds. So here's Greg Gutfeld, and now we'll chat about it after it's over.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. It's my favorite day of the week, except for all the others. Jimmy Fallon is here. Yeah. Nah, you don't have to clap. Oh, he brought his jacket.
There it is.
Must have been an estate sale.
Hey.
So as you know, talking about a stolen election can get you into trouble. It's the equivalent of shouting fire in a crowded theater, except you can actually shout fire in a crowded theater, especially if there's a fire and you started it. Even more, if you're a Democrat and you're about to become White House press secretary, something tells me you'll get a pass on this. Karine Jean-Pierre, sounds like the goalie for the Montreal Canadiens. Is that a real team? Well, anyway, she's been tapped to replace Jen Psaki. But did you know she once falsely claimed that the 2018 Georgia gubernatorial election was actually stolen? I know. Since when do Democrats care about theft? But I get it. When someone gets a fancy job, embarrassing tweets surface like a bloated corpse in the East River. I remember when this show started, someone started leaking these erotic videos I'd made back when I needed the money. True, I was the one leaking them. I just felt they needed a wider audience. But Jean-Pierre's tweet matters, because that sort of thing would disqualify anyone who isn't a lefty. Back on April 2nd, 2020, she tweeted, "Reminder, Brian Kemp stole the gubernatorial election from Georgians and Stacey Abrams." Of course, no Dem has called this an attack on democracy, a claim they're always making against Republicans. But they wouldn't know democracy if it bit them in their elitist butts. But she's merely echoing exactly what the Dems get away with saying already, which tells you it's only a crime if a Republican does it. You know, like marrying your brother. Who hasn't? You've married a lot.
Yeah.
Well, maybe only once. Never mind. You haven't heard much of it, but Stacey Abrams filed a federal lawsuit over Georgia's management of elections, and the trial actually began last month. You could say the lawsuit's an attempt to undermine the integrity of Georgia elections, but like a plane full of passengers during the safety demonstration, no one's listening. They're too busy trying to find gas and baby formula, which causes gas. Anyway, because she's a Dem, that stuff doesn't matter, mainly because the press is on her side. They go together like peanut butter and jelly, pizza and beer, nipple clamps, and cheese whiz. And they want elections as secure as the border. Think about that. Now, as you know, Psaki's leaving her job to go to work at MSNBC, so she can now lie while sitting down. Now, if you don't know the network, it's the news station that makes the weekly world news look like Face the Nation. But I guess someone has to do the work they pay Rachel Maddow for. Because she's not. Thank you. Not working. Anyway, I want her job. I don't know if she's got a show coming her way, but I hear that her office duties will involve feeding Joy Reid and changing Lawrence O'Donnell. Half the duties she performed for Biden. I just hope Jen enjoys her first day at MSNBC.
Oh, hey, Jen, welcome aboard. Hope you're getting settled in. Let me know if you need anything, office supplies or whatever.
Well, the supply chain is a top priority for the Biden administration. That's why he's working with all of our global partners to ensure a strong economy.
I was talking about like staples or pens or anything. Anyway, make yourself at home. Let me know if you need anything.
Moving a podium.
President Biden believes that every American deserves to feel at home in their own country.
No, you're not press secretary anymore, right?
No more questions at this time.
Now, that isn't that one tweet isn't the only thing to erupt from Jen's replacement. There's this video from MSNBC where she describes Fox News as racist back in March 2020, which she then shared from her Twitter account.
Fox News was racist before coronavirus. They are racist during the coronavirus. Fox News will be racist after the coronavirus. So there is nothing new here. I think the difference is that they have been, they are all in on being state TV for Donald Trump.
Right.
And so they will continue to give them misinformation. The danger is, so yes, you have Asian Americans right now whose lives are seriously in danger.
Huh. Well, at least she didn't parody Mary Poppins. But I remember those days, you know, when the left actually did care about Asian Americans. Not so much anymore. Now that Asian hate crimes erupted and the culprits aren't in MAGA hats, why bother reporting them at all? So as part of her new job, she'll be dealing with all of these racist Fox News reporters, especially our own dumb SOB Peter Ducey. Oh, he's so racist. It's funny, Psaki's scheduled to leave her job Friday, where she will end up right where her replacement was when she said we were all racist. I call it the circle of strife. Like Shemp and Curly, they just switched roles. Stooges reference cat. But I guess that's what Democrats mean by both sides. So will the new face of the administration face questions about her hatred for Fox News? Maybe, but only from people at Fox News. Assault on the press are another one of those things that can only come from Republicans. But I should point out, we're not racists. We're just kicking all of their asses, and they're out of ideas, so that's why they call us racist. And as long as you're on the right side, meaning the left side, you can say anything you want. But unlike the left, we won't try to stop you. It's the best way to make you look stupid.
Information laundering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet. So disinformation's origins are slightly less atrocious.
That was Scary Poppins for the Ministry of Truth, the new department that was created by the anti-constitutional Biden-Harris regime. But at the last part of it is where Gutfeld really, truly nailed it. You know, we are not racists. We're just kicking their asses. And they have nothing else. They, the left, the Democrat Party has nothing left other than to call people racist because they're empty and they're devoid of any new ideas. And now, you know, it's one thing for this buffoon Biden to make a mistake in bringing someone in, but this is all intentional. And certainly I don't believe that Biden is smart enough to be doing this by himself. And certainly the people that are being brought in are regurgitated from the Obama Biden regime, and they want to paint anybody that's sitting on the right as being a racist, being a hater, and the things that they do are intentional, whether it is $4.50 or higher a gallon gasoline, whether it's $5.20 a gallon heating oil up from $1.80, $1.90, $2.10, whether it's baby formula that is non-existent except if you're at the border where there's pallets upon pallets of baby formula, whether it's a supply chain interruption because the Secretary of Transportation's on maternity leave breastfeeding his child. I mean, this is all insane. And when you start questioning these morons, these anti-American traitors, right away you're considered a racist. And I love Greg Gutfeld because he nails it. He hits it right on the head. Al, he is spot on with his assessment, and he does it in a comical, satirical manner. You know, in the video, if you watch the video of his 8 minute, actually it's 14 minute rant or 12 minute rant. It shows an actor portraying Jen Psaki, and she has her own podium, and she's asked the one question, and she talks about, you know, you need any office supplies? Oh, supply chain. And then she has a podium that's right next to her desk. And the reason you heard that little lapse in, you know, anybody talking is because she was moving the podium to speak behind it. And it's like, that's when the guy said, you realize you're not press secretary anymore. I mean, this is how disingenuous these people truly are.
Well, it flows on to the next press secretary as well, Karen Jean Pierre, the new press secretary. She got a question, and you tell me if this is a tough one. President Biden tweeted last week. He tweeted about how raising taxes on the rich brings down inflation. Okay, Biden made a classic economic error because that's just not how it works, and the new poor press secretary had to field that question as she was flipping through her binder 20 times to the point of being distracted, and it was very distracting. She took 1 minute 59 seconds to not answer the question because the question is not answerable. So that was her first question by Peter Ducey, and it was a mild one. So I think we're going to have a very entertaining next year or two with our new press secretary. But she doesn't say so the gin sake drinking game is officially deceased.
And here you have it. You've got symbolism over substance. You know, they Kayleigh McEnany was excoriated by the left, but you know, now we know this is all a planned outrage by the left to make the Trump administration uncomfortable as hell. It didn't matter what they did, how much they worked for America, how much they believed in America. You know, first of all, Biden is no economic genius. Biden is nothing more than an empty suit. He has been his entire political life. He's nothing but a liar and a plagiarizer. And he's proven that his entire 44 years in the United States Senate. And he's nothing but a blowhard when it came to him being vice president. He was just a figurehead, as he is right now. And for him to profess to give an economic outlook with the standard, it's the standard failed liberal progressive line, tax the rich and you'll bring down inflation. That is absolutely untrue. And of course, the Ministry of Truth, Scary Poppins, she won't know either because they're as dumb as a rock as it is. But, you know, President Trump had it correct. How did he stimulate economic growth? How did he grow the treasury? Because the revenue prior to the scamdemic, the plandemic, was growth. And it was bringing in additional revenues. And how was that? Because you had corporations, large corporations, investing in the United States. They were spending the trillions of dollars that they had on the sidelines. And we can go through the whole economics of it all. But you know what? The fact that Dumbo in the White House brings up the same tired, regurgitated, progressive, failed economic lines that taxing the rich will be a way to reduce inflation is just dishonest. And we're circling back to the same failed policies of the progressive movement for the last at least 60 years. And of course, we have a bunch of dumbed-down utes, thanks to the colleges and universities, who have sold that socialism and communism are the new wet dream because everybody's equal, which is garbage. It's junk. It is junk science. And, you know, you're being sold down the river. How you spur economic growth is to reduce taxes, and you reduce it across the board. And why were more black Americans – and you know what? And I'm sorry for going down the identity road politics of this, but black Americans, Hispanic Americans, how about all Americans were benefiting from a low tax rate? You didn't have to go artificially and try to raise minimum wage to $15 an hour because it's a great talking point, okay? And you're looking to get the vote of the cement heads who are going to college, who are idealistic. You get rid of the minimum wage altogether. But in order to spur economic growth, you have competition. But the government's wants to wage control, as they do want to price control. And guess what? We will be no more than what the communists are in China and in Russia. I mean, Biden is lying. And now he has another willing accomplice in the press secretary position who is just as dumb as the last one. You know, and then Pete Buttcheeks, you know, he was talking about – they were talking about baby formula. And he goes, well look, we're a capitalist country. The government doesn't make a baby formula. Oh, okay. So you have these little socialists, these little commies in the Biden-Harris regime who despise capitalism. Now capitalism is to blame for the baby formula shortages. Okay, so Pete, tell us about if the government doesn't make oil, which it doesn't manufacture oil or produce oil, why are the government policies causing a 300% increase in gas prices since January 20th, 2021? Why wasn't that question asked? These people are so phony, and Biden's economic plan is yet another to make America mediocre again, Al.
Well, I can field that question. We are raising gasoline prices to make electric vehicles that much more visionary and necessary because we do not want fossil fuels. We are ushering in a new America, Vito, and it's time that you get on the same page or you'll have to go to a re-education camp. Now, when you talk about identity politics, just because Jean-Pierre, the new press secretary, happens to be black, gay, and an immigrant woman, had nothing to do with her being hired, just like the vice president, Kamala heels up Harris, the fact that she is the first black woman. Oh, and did I mention, the black woman SCOTUS, the new SCOTUS, identity politics, not because she's a good justice, because she's black. And we also have Pete Buttigieg, the first male who wears a prosthetic breastfeeding device to breastfeed his new baby and taking maternity leave when he, in fact, did not actually birth the baby. This is the Biden hires, the Biden clown show. This is the Marxist clown show, all with the end game of weakening America and making sure that there's an electric vehicle in everybody's garage.
Yeah, are they going to give us subsidized, you know, $40,000 per person to buy an electric vehicle? I mean, you know, they act as if we can just go out tomorrow and buy an electric car. And why would we? But, you know, we would, why? Because this administration is hell-bent on aligning itself with the green scam and the Agenda 30 of the United Nations, Agenda 2030. So I think we have, I think Movin's on the line. You want to take Movin? He might be able to give us a Pennsylvania update.
Heck yeah, that man's got some insight.
Ah, is this Movin?
You got Movin. If you're not laughing, you're crying, and if you're not moving, you're dying.
Good evening. Amen. How are you doing?
All right. I'm glad you guys are still out here telling it and on the show. I've been away for a while. Some health issues going on, but all is on the uptick. And
good.
I want to say I'm not from Pennsylvania, Kentucky. That's where my gal Pocahontas is, my girlfriend, but I'm here in the state of Western Maryland.
Ah.
And I wanted to call because you brought up the energy and other issues. And I want to call to remind folks, probably don't need to remind all the listeners here, but certainly any new listeners, what it was like to stand in the gas lines, red flag, green flag, with my dad's 1968 Chrysler Town and Country station wagon, and that thing with a 440 engine certainly would drink some gas, right? We're talking like 14 miles a gallon at best, right? So
leaded fuel at that.
What I'm trying to say, though, is it's coming. And, you know, like I'm an engineer, right, and retired in November. Now I'm getting called back to work. You know, rent the geezer. By the end of the week, I'll be back working again. Not because I have to, but certainly I need to help some folks out. Family with some extra income, because things are so bad right now. They can't afford gas to go and visit each other. They can't afford the tolls to go from New Jersey Turnpike down here to Maryland. They can't take the Pennsylvania Turnpike to go from New Jersey up to Wilkes-Barre, Scranton. And I'm just going back to work to help them out. And that's how bad things are right now.
And that's sad. That's absolutely sad. You know, no one's talking about that, Movin, about the inability to afford to fill up your car. You know, I have a client that he fills up twice a week. It's cost him $62 more than it cost him in December of 2020. And, you know, he's got no choice now. That's $120 a month. He has no choice but to raise prices at his business because he uses his vehicle for business purposes. He can't afford the additional $62, but he needs the truck. It's not like he's driving a big truck just for the hell of it. He's driving because it provides the goods and services that he needs to transport. And, you know, people can't afford to go from Maryland up to New Jersey and fill up their vehicle at $5 a gallon, $4.95 a gallon. And this is the untold story out there that regular Americans making less than $400,000 a year have been imposed an unnecessary tax by the green lovers, the green scam lovers, who are inflicting a maximum amount of pain on the American people, all in the name of green energy. And there was no reason to do it. There was none. Zero, zilch, nada. The United States of America was energy independent in 2 years under Donald Trump, President Trump's vision. And this bozo, this regime, this puppet whose strings are being pulled by who knows what, okay, took us off of energy independence and made America dependent again, and the American people are paying dearly for it.
Oh, you got that right. And I'm sure you guys are old enough to remember red flag, green flag.
1972, 73.
I think you guys know it, and we're going to relive it. And I think we're reliving it worse now, because even during the days of red flag, green flag, which for your
what is red flag, green flag? Because not everybody is as old as you guys.
Okay, I want to explain it. You preempted me with the question, and I was getting ready to tell it. Red flag, green flag was a system that if the gas station that had gasoline, meaning they didn't run out, they had a green flag. And that green flag said, hey, the gas station's got gas. But even if they had a green flag out, the line might be so prohibitively long you'd just bag it and drive past. Red flag meant don't even try and stop. There's no gas here at the gas station. Now, even during the days of red flag, green flag, you know, price gouging was there, but not as prevalent as it is today. So rather than, I also didn't bring up odd and even number tags. So
yeah.
The system, 1972. And adjacent time periods, it even actually went through 1974 in a lot of places, and later, almost up until the bicentennial in some regions.
I forgot about that.
Which was 1976 for you non-patriots.
Those are the heydays of Jimmy Carter and President Biden wants to relive those days, because as much agin as he can create in this country, he is doing it by design. So
yeah,
that's our,
you know, energy is everything, right? It's everything. If we can get the energy thing, and I'm no hack for any cause or anything. I'm just moving, trying to get by in life. But if we can get the energy thing right, most things will fall into line nicely. And you know, we just got to get that right. And the most important thing has led to, and I'm hearing all this stuff about so many issues. I could rant all day.
Well, you got to remember, the Mega King opened up all the leases, opened up pipelines, and fracked like nobody else has fracked before, and America was a net supplier of oil to the world. All of those things were 86 the minute that President Biden came into office, and now we are at $5 a gallon. That's right.
And this has to be by design. I think also people in Congress all need to put their investment portfolios out there, because you know they're making money on the calls and puts. They know what's happening, them and their constituents, their cronies, and they're doing that on the backs of the American people. And you know, me just moving. I've pretty much had enough. You know, I'm trying to eat healthy and do all those things, and so are other people. Go to the grocery store and afford to eat healthy anymore. For half of America that makes like. Let's see, I'm a metrics guy, right? So last I looked at was like half of America is $15 an hour and less on their wage, and they can't afford to eat healthy anymore unless they grow their own food and all that stuff, which, you know, they don't do. So what I'm saying is you used the phrase by design, which I agree with.
Yes.
This is a deliberate collapse of the American people. And, you know, I don't think we should wait until 2024 or 2022 election. I think action needs to be taken now to make the administration accountable for their heinous crimes against the American people. And hopefully
yeah, but who's
going to
do it, Mervin?
Yeah.
who's going to do it? Seriously.
Who's going to do the Republican establishment?
Pressure on there. We got to do it at the local grassroots level.
Right.
I don't advocate violence, but I sure do get pissed and mad when I go to the gas pump.
We don't advocate violence. And if you want to change things, then you're right. Locally, don't ignore your local elections. Those are the most important elections in your life, because those people who get elected locally are going to impact your life more than anybody else. So that's great advice.
And these ambulance chasers that we elect, you know, the state's attorney, county attorneys, commissioners that support them, or if you're down south, you know, parish further south, the elected officials need to prosecute these types of crimes. The sheriff needs to be a supporter of the U.S. Constitution where he lives. Mm-hmm. And it's time to go after these. Well, I'm not going to use the expletive, but it's time to go after these
bastards. Communists. I'll use it for you.
Yeah.
The bastards. Every one of them. The bastards. And I tell you this, when George Soros and the Open Society Foundation is dropping million-dollar donations into these exact district attorney seats that were always ignored because nobody knew who they were, and these judgeships, because nobody knew who the judges were unless you were in the system. Most people, 90% of the people, never go into, have a need to know who the judges are. And you've got George Soros dumping millions of dollars into these races. He's doing it for a reason. And the reason is that criminals will be put back on the streets. The Antifa people that Vito was talking about at the very beginning of the show, they go in, they go out. They
don't charge, it's crazy.
They get a free pass. Yeah.
It's crazy. And, you know, you bring up a good point. You know, Al, is the January 6th folks in Washington, D.C. that are still in jail. That's a heinous crime against the American people, those poor families, those Americans who showed up to do legitimate protests are in jail. There's like, what, 300 of them still in jail.
Their Sixth Amendment rights have been violated.
Yeah.
Their rights rights to a speedy trial have been violated.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Al.
Now, I was there, and I guarantee you, I will tell you this, there were some people that were destroying property and hitting cops, and they needed to be charged. But 90% of the people, there were close to 900,000 people there from the Ellipsis Park all the way to the Washington Monument. We were standing way back at the Washington Monument. That whole area, almost 75 to 80 acres, was filled with people. Everybody walked to the Capitol building not to do what happened, but just to show our elected officials that there is – it just happened. People came from all over the country. It was an amazing thing. It organically happened, and they were there to show our elected officials that we are the silent majority. And that
they were very much a Tea Party crowd.
And the press wasn't even there. The press was not even there filming it. There were no trucks anywhere where President Trump was speaking. Very few media, even at the Capitol.
Yeah. I don't have words. I still would like to see some accountability for, you know, people who were charged. Were they charged, you know, and did they get a commensurate sentence for the crime? Right now, they're like you mentioned earlier, they're letting these folks out of prison, the Antifa folks who, you know, they did things like firebomb cars and
cops,
hurt people real bad and burn down
federal
millions, but billions of dollars of commerce across America, and they just got a slap on the wrist. I don't see a scorched Capitol. I don't see any major reconstruction having to happen to the Capitol, but we have cities, downtowns across America that haven't recovered from what Antifa did, and you know, there's still ghost towns.
So let me read the Sixth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy trial speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have assistance of counsel for his defense. So the right to a speedy trial has been abridged. The right to a public trial has been abridged. And most of the people that have been tried or been accused, Moving, they've been accused of what? Trespassing. And they've been in jail for over 365 days. This is called breaking the American people. And this, again, Joe Biden and the Biden-Harris administration are nothing but traitors. They are anti-constitutionalists who have abridged the rights of the American people. They've abridged the First Amendment right to the freedom of speech, the freedom to peaceably assemble, the freedom to redress your government for grievances. They're abridging the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. They're abridging the Sixth Amendment. They have abridged the Sixth Amendment of those people who were accused, okay, accused, and you're innocent until proven guilty, and the people that have been accused have not been given the opportunity in a speedy trial and a public trial to defend themselves. And that is shameful. You had Obama letting out terrorists who killed American soldiers, okay, in Afghanistan and Iraq, and letting those rotten bastards out of Gitmo and back into the arena of war. And you have this left-wing anti-constitutional administration, the Joe Obama-Harris administration, and they're abridging America's rights. The Bill of Rights have been abridged by this anti-constitutional administration. But hey, you know what? If you're not duly elected, why do you give a shit about the U.S. Constitution, right?
Duly elected, you know, you remind me that I watched that new movie that came out, 2,000 Mules.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Wow. That raises a lot of questions about the election and people who had questions and showed up in Washington. I mean, their views, their concerns were totally ignored. And then they locked people up for trespassing. And all those things, and regardless of the day, there was a lot of nefarious actors and alleged FBI involvement on January 6th that I hope comes out in the wash. But it seems a lot of the events going on are orchestrated by the FBI from these false flag events. And it's starting to concern me a great deal. And there's a lot of questions surrounding January 6th. So I look at things with my head's on a swivel when I hear event and FBI investigating. And, oh, my gosh, what happened to that general who just filed a lawsuit for $50 million?
Michael Flynn?
Michael Flynn. I actually met him a couple times years ago. He was a major.
Oh, no kidding.
That's a long
All right.
time ago. President Clinton signed my discharge.
Congratulations.
Think of that. Just telling you a long time ago. But hey, I'm going to let you go, and thanks for letting me call in.
Anytime.
It's an awesome show. I wish I could participate more, but, I'm always moving.
Well,
you
glad
get better.
You're feeling better and back in the fight because God don't want you yet.
Y'all take care now. God bless you, listeners.
All right. You take care. Thank you for your service, Moody.
All right.
Ciao.
Ciao.
You know, he talked about 2,000 Mules, and I don't know if you had a chance to watch it. I watched it. You know what got me in that? What stood out to me, there were many parts, but one part in particular stood out. So I didn't realize that the drop boxes were able to register how many people had made deposits into the drop box. So in this one Atlanta box, they had 271 people approach the ballot box and make deposits. Now, 271 people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many ballots, though, when the supervisor of election goes to clear out that box, how many ballots would you say there would be in that box? The 271 people made deposits. I would think there's 271, you know what, 540 because of, you know, people taking their spouse's ballot when they you know how many ballots were in this one box? 271 people deposited. There was 1,962 ballots that were in this drop box, and only 271 people had made a deposit into the box. Now, that's
illegal. It seems like the election supervisor would have caught that and then just, I don't know, locked up every vote that was in there, every ballot, and put it on hold until they could be verified. But that didn't happen, did it?
No. Yeah, this whole thing stinks. It's stunk since 2016, the false accusations, and now you've got the perfecting of cheating. Hillary Rotten Clinton did it. She cheated. She got away with it because the willing accomplices in the state media for the Democrat National Committee, which runs ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, and NPR, they all sanitize the cheating that occurred with Hillary Rotten Clinton, and then, of course, the cheating that occurred in 2020. And it's just it's unbelievable. So, you know, the midterms, we're hearing about the red wave and the Republicans going to shellack the Democrats. I don't believe it. I don't believe it because Democrat Party ran their trial mission in 2016 in the Democrat primary, and they did it again in 2020 to perfect it. Now they know how to do it. There's going to be another push for drop boxes and for mail-in ballots because there'll be a 700th variant for the China virus. And so, you know, you have to accommodate Americans because they're too lazy to actually vote on the first Tuesday in November following the first Monday. And that's how you stop this, all this nonsense, okay? That's how you start with stopping it. Get rid of all the drop boxes. If you can't make it to the ballot on Tuesday, the first Tuesday in November following the first Monday of Election Day from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. in your particular precinct, not district, because in each district you have how many precincts depending on the size of that district. So you don't even have to worry about driving across town. I can walk to mine. It takes me 15 minutes to walk. I will walk to it. No, it takes eight minutes to walk to it. 8 minutes to walk to it. If I don't want to drive, I won't be able to afford to drive. So I will be a Democrat Party's wet dream, and I will walk. Hell, I might be like a chink and take my bicycle, and I'll pump up the air tires, the tires in with air, and I'll take my bicycle to the precinct, and I will vote on the first Tuesday in November following the first Monday. Enough of this drop box stuff. Enough of this mail-in ballot bullshit. Because the Democrat Party is totally dishonest. The swamp is dishonest. Let's just face it. This is about the political machine in Washington, D.C. controlling the American people. There is no fucking reason we are paying $5 a gallon for gasoline. There is none, zero, zilch, nada, because just 18 months ago, we were paying $1.80 a gallon. We had a president of the United States who had this country an energy independence. Independence. Why can't anybody say it? And now we have this fool, this buffoon in the White House, who's nothing more than a puppet, who has got us on energy dependence. And as Mubin said, people can't afford to fill up their vehicles anymore. Well, this is all the more reason making a case to buy an electric car. Fuck you, Pete Buttigieg. People don't have the money, the resources to buy, to go in debt like the national government does. I'm sorry, the federal government. The federal government can borrow money at ad nausea and put us at $30 trillion in debt. And guess what? The American people can't do that. The American people have a conscience. They're raising their children. They're trying to rear their children in the right way. They're trying to pay their debts. not create more. We don't have to be beholden to the world body government, okay, to this Agenda 30, to this green scam that's going to cost the American taxpayers even more money, and we're paying for it. Whether you make $50,000 a year, $100,000 a year, you make less than $400,000 a year. Because blowhard Biden just gave another meaningless soundbite. If you make less than $400,000 a year, your taxes won't go up one penny. No, Joe, it's gone up by $5,000 a year, you dumb fuck. You're nothing but a liar. You're a front man for whoever is pulling your strings. And it's absolutely sickening. We have supply chain issues. How can that be possible in the United States? Just 18 months ago, we had no supply chain issues. Why? Because we had a president who loved America. We had a president who believed in the American people, believed in American ingenuity. And now we have someone who's beholden to the world body government to make America mediocre again. This is absolutely ridiculous that the American people are paying $4, $5, $6, $7 a gallon for gasoline. Well, you know, there were land leases that weren't being used. Bullshit. This is about supply and demand, and what you have is a president who is cutting off the supply chain intentionally. How is it that this president, okay, who commits treason on a daily basis, is buying oil from Iran? A theocratic terrorist regime, and he's buying oil from Iran. He's buying oil from Russia, funding the Russian war. And now we're beholden once again, ladies and gentlemen, to Saudi Arabia, to OPEC. This is nothing but an intentional act to break the American people. $333 in 2020, in October of 2020, to fill a heating oil tank. $337, And just 2 months ago, $912. Now, you tell me how a senior citizen who's on a fixed income can afford a $600 increase, and then you've got all of these chimpanzees in Washington, D.C. telling us that, hey, things are getting better. Inflation went down by 0.2%. Really? Where? Oh, it went from 8.5 to 8.3. That's absolute horseshit. It's more lies from these people. How can a senior citizen absolutely survive on a 200% increase, a 300% increase in heating fuel and gasoline? Not to mention the astronomical cost of groceries. And you have the audacity to say that it's going to get better. And the way that we can stop inflation is to tax the rich. The same old tired failed slogans and meaningless sound bites that the Democrat Communist Party has been spewing for 60 years? God almighty. And Movin's right. You raise the gasoline prices, it affects and infects everything. Why do you think the cost of groceries has escalated so high? Why? Gasoline. I mean, these people, it's just incredible what we are seeing today. And the lack of economics, the lies that are coming out of this administration, and then they have the audacity to abridge our freedom of speech by starting a Ministry of Truth department at taxpayer expense. And there's only two United States senators who are willing to file a bill to defund this unconstitutional department. The last time I checked, there was 100 senators. Only two are filing a bill? What the fuck is that? This isn't communist China. This isn't communist Russia. If they truly believed in the United States Constitution, there should be 100 U.S. senators demanding action and defunding the Ministry of Truth Department. and then bringing the President of the United States up on charges for unilaterally starting this anti-constitutional department. Two senators out of 100. Now, you'd expect the Democrat senators to be beholden to communist movements and to oppress and suppress the American people, which they have done. And then you have Obama, who's abridging the rule of law. Oh, well, it's okay to protest the Supreme Court justices because of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. First of all, Roe v. Wade hasn't been overturned. Second of all, why isn't Obama outraged at the leaking of a draft? Not the actual ruling, but a draft. And as Hawkeye Mike said on Hank Jones' show a couple weeks ago, a draft may or may not make its way into being reality. But the Democrat Communist Party, to distract the American people, has made that draft into a new rule by the Supreme Court, which is absolute hogwash. But a former president is inciting to violence and violating 18 U.S.C. Code, subsection 1507, which makes it illegal to protest in front of a Supreme Court justice's house. It's illegal. And the former president, Barack Hussein Satoru Obama, who has zero respect for the United States Constitution, has zero respect for the United States of America, is telling his fellow communists to go and protest the Supreme Court. Now, he has not come out and said, you can't do it in front of their houses, it's illegal. And do you think Bonehead Biden has done anything with regards to protecting the United States Supreme Court justices? It's okay to berate Kavanaugh. It's okay to go after Alito and his family. Somehow now it's okay to go after any justice, Supreme Court justice, who was perceived to be on the right side of the aisle. And the real insurrectionists are the Democrat Party led by Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Chuck Schumer. How dare the former president disrespect the rule of law, a slogan that he coined when he was president of the United States. A slogan, a meaningless soundbite is what it becomes to, because Barack Hussein Satoru Obama is nothing but an agitator. If he had any respect for the rule of law, first of all, he would admonish those who intentionally leaked and sabotaged this draft, this leak inside the United States Supreme Court. And second of all, there is a law that prohibits the protesting in front of the Supreme Court or their houses or a court's house. And somehow, that is irrelevant, the rule of law. Obama is a liar. The Democrat Party is devoid of any new ideas, and all they've done is incite their base to distract. And distract from what we are seeing today, an economic disaster led by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Whoever is pulling these dummy strings are intentionally destroying our constitutional republic. It's a draft. It's not even a ruling. And now you've got the dishonest four. Oh, excuse me, five under the new math, old math, Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Kamala Cackles Harris, and Chuck Schumer all lied about this draft. But they're okay with sabotaging the judicial branch of government. And that should be charged with treason right there. A leaked draft. Sabotaging the executive branch of the judicial branch of government, and the executive branch is behind it. Undermining the Supreme Court of the United States. So here's some comments by Justice Thomas with regards to the leaked document. He did a forum a couple of weeks, last week, I believe, and I thought it was very candid. Allie, I know you've got some comments after it. So here is Justice Thomas being sitting in on a forum, and he's asked a question about the leaked document. I'm going to go have some espresso.
So, Justice, first question. Is there anything going on at the court these days? When you go back to Washington, could you tell your colleagues that next time they leak an opinion, could they just give it to me and I'll leak it for them? Why are they going through these other methods?
You have too much character to leak.
But in seriousness, Justice, you know, one theme that's come out of this conference, I think, is the importance of institutions.
Yeah.
And that institutions are under attack these days. So I thought you might want to comment on the leaks, the protests at justices' homes, and what we're seeing in the wake of this leak of the alleged Dobbs draft opinion.
Well, first of all, it's a real honor to be here. This is, it's hard to believe that more than 40 years have passed since I was at the Fairmont conference, which was, I was just no more enthusiastic about that than I am about this one. And I think it started off with, a very electric speech by Glenn Lowry, and it has continued with the thoughtfulness. And that's really all we ever wanted, not to replace one orthodoxy with another orthodoxy. We had enough of that. But rather to assume that people are able to think for themselves, to have different ideas because they're unique, to exchange different perspectives and perhaps have others either agree with them or sharpen their disagreements, but to have a civil discussion. That was all. That's why it was called New Alternatives. It was an alternative to... it's the kind of alternatives you would want in what we saw it, at least in a civil society. And it certainly was not treated that way. And that sort of, we were treated very shabbily after that. The whole idea, your point about institutions, I think we are in dangers of destroying the institutions that are required for a free society. You can't have a civil society, a free society, without a stable legal system. You can't have one without stability in things like property or interpretation and impartial judiciary. And I've been in this business long enough to know just how fragile it is. And the institution that I'm a part of, if someone said that one line of one opinion would be leaked by anyone, and you would say, that's impossible. No one would ever do that. There's such a belief in the rule of law, a belief in the court, a belief in what we were doing, that was verboten. It was beyond anyone's understanding, or at least anyone's imagination, that someone would do that. And look where we are, where now that trust or that belief is gone forever. And when you lose that trust, especially in the institution that I'm in, it changes the institution fundamentally. You begin to look over your shoulder. It's like kind of an infidelity that you can explain it, but you can't undo it. And I think you're seeing it go through any number of our institutions, whether it's in the political branches or whether it's in the universities. When I went to a university, to college, it was the fun place where you were not that well informed, but boy, you debated all night. And then the people with whom you argued...
Just like the Supreme Court.
No. No. But the friends that you made during that time, you kept for life. You you pick up the arguments 10 years later, and you're still arguing, and you're still loving being around each other. You remember the bad pizza and too many mugs of beer, and a reason why many of us don't drink anymore. But my point is simply that even the universities have changed. I was at the University of Georgia about a year ago, and I met with a lot of students. And their question was, why can't we in the general society debate difficult things anymore? And I said to them, and these were small groups, I met with a group of 10 students, 15 separate groups for about an hour. It was very exhausting, but enormously, enormously informative. And I said to them that, to me, the epicenter of free speech when I was in it was at the university. That's where you learn how to engage with people who disagreed with you. That's where you learned how to deal with ideas and address ideas that you were not familiar previously, or with which you disagreed. And it was back and forth, and I just loved it. And we called them rap sessions back then. And I said, but now look at your university. This is the University of Georgia. I said, how many of you can take a view on this campus of traditional families? And of course, nobody. Oh, you got a lot of people staring at the floor. How many of you can take a pro-life position on this campus? Staring at the floor. And as you go on and on, you take positions that are obviously at odds with the current mood on these campuses. Now, this is where you learn how to deal with views that are different. Now, if you don't learn at that point, the law schools are just as bad now. At John's alma mater, Yale,
Did you give your degree back again?
Yale does not recognize me.
Me either.
Okay. Oh, so we're in the same boat. But they just protested a group and made it very difficult for others to come, and certainly had a chilling effect. Now, Yale was, when I was there visiting, it was anything goes. Is you do your thing, I do my thing. And maybe too much of that, but it certainly wasn't prior restraint. And it certainly wasn't censorship. But here we are, where that's acceptable at one of the elite universities. And it's pretty much acceptable at all the universities. And if we're there with these institutions, how do we recover? So yeah, I do think that the what happened at the court is tremendously bad. I think it's I wonder how long we're going to have these institutions at the rate we're undermining them. And then I wonder when they're gone or they are destabilized, what we will have as a country. And I don't think that the prospects are good if we continue to lose them.
Thank you. Well, I know you can't speak much more about the court, so maybe we could.
But that was Justice Clarence Thomas, and he was speaking to a gentleman, a fellow Yale alum, and I'm sorry I don't have the gentleman's name, but I think that was this past week, and it was a pretty candid interview or commentary by Justice Thomas. I really thought it was sad, though, that Justice Thomas, who went to Yale University, Yale doesn't recognize him. Why does it recognize him? Because he's perceived to be the most conservative or conservative on the bench of the United States Supreme Court. And therefore, his opinions no longer are valid. The fact that he holds the Constitution near and dear is not good for Yale University, who is hiding behind the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and freedom of speech. But but Justice Thomas, who renders rulings and opinions and who thinks based on the Constitution and its foundings, is no longer relevant in the United States of America, which used to be a constitutional republic. It's pretty bad. And I think his comments, Al, at the end, Justice Thomas comment at the end, the leak was tremendously bad. And talking about destabilizing and undermining, destabilizing the country and undermining the courts. And that position, that has been my opinion. I'm not a rabid Roe v. Wade guy. I don't think that abortions will be outlawed, even if the courts overturn Roe v. Wade, because even Justice Ginsburg, Ruth Ginsburg, had stated that it was a poorly written decision. But it goes back to the states, and the states would make the determinations. The fact of the matter is, forget about all the distractions, okay? The fact is, somebody intentionally leaked a draft. And now the perverted and the dishonest Democrat Party has taken that draft as being gospel in overturning Roe v. Wade. And that's a flat-out lie. And Justice Thomas, being very measured in his commentary and being very level-headed, is concerned about the destabilizing of our country, the undermining of the courts, and the attack on our legal system to be tremendously bad. And that's if Obama was a genuine individual, he too would be outraged at the intentional leakage and the undermining of the judicial branch of government. This tells me that this was intentional. It's designed to do it before the midterm elections because the Democrat Party is in tremendous trouble. And if they can't get a hold of the purse strings in America, if they can't get a hold of their continued dismantling of our constitutional republic, they might succumb. And Trump's still attracting tens of thousands of people at rallies is a bad thing because they know that the little puppet, little Joe, is lucky to attract 25 people for a function. That's why they keep him, under wraps. And unfortunately, they have to send the little midget over to Buffalo tomorrow, and he'll read from a teleprompter some inane shit, and he'll also continue his divisiveness. Okay, and he'll try to unilaterally dismantle the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. But you have comments on this. Go ahead, Al. You've got the floor.
Well, I tell you, after listening, I'm so glad that you pulled that clip of Justice Thomas. And you know what was missing from that? In my opinion, I wanted to hear Justice Thomas come out and say that the leak itself is in violation of 8 U.S. Code Section 641. It needs to be adjudicated. The leaker needs to be found and held liable and punished for his actions. That never came up in his talk. I was very disappointed at that, especially from a judge. The doxing of the SCOTUSes, the people protesting in front of the Supreme Court justices' homes, as you said earlier in the show, is a violation of Title 18, Section 1507 of the United States Code. Clarence Thomas mentioned none of that, where their lives are actually put in danger and their neighbors.
Well, that was only an 8-minute clip, though, Al. That was only an 8-minute clip.
That's true. Maybe it was in there. But I want to – and it's been, 2 weeks now?
Mm-hmm.
And there's been no movement in the investigation, and an investigation that should have been completed in 1 week at the most because there's limited access to people – to the draft,
yes.
between the people who work, the clerks of the justices and the justices themselves are the only people who would have had access to that draft.
Great point. Yep.
And yet nothing. There's been nothing but silence in the media. There's been no forward movement in the investigation at all. And then in addition to that, there's nothing about the churches that were targeted Ruth Sent Us is the name of the group. They're actually a formed group that sent these people out to go into churches dressed in some costume from a movie, The Handmaid's Tale, I believe. And they went in and disrupted Catholic churches across the country in an organized fashion, illegally trespassing and stopping these churches' right to freedom of religion. And nothing. That in itself is illegal, and yet no charges were filed. It was almost as bad as when Will Smith went up and bitch slapped Chris Rock. Chris Rock didn't do a damn thing, and now look what happened. Another comedian got attacked on stage, and this time with a knife. There's a rule of law for a reason, and when the United States Supreme Court will not adjudicate the rule of law or have the Department of Justice enforce the rule of law in something that is impacting the justices of the United States, Supreme Court of the United States, the highest court in the land, there's a problem happening. But we'll see. Hopefully it'll all turn out, and next week we'll find out who that leaker was, and they'll go to jail, and then I'll say, Yahoo! And that's it. And that'll be the end of that story. But I am a cynic and not very confident.
Well, isn't it amazing that, you know, on January the 6th, there was 900,000 people in Washington, D.C., and within 48 hours, there were arrests made. And here we have a confined number of individuals inside of the executive branch, I'm sorry, the judicial branch of government. And the U.S. Marshals, we've heard nothing in 2 weeks. Nothing.
Yep. Right. Now, this is kind of old news, but we're running short on time, and we need to comment on these mass shootings that seem to have multiplied and popped up like mushrooms. And I know you got a few very important comments about that.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, people understand that there's there was a mass shooting in Buffalo. Buffalo, New York. Let's see. So the breaking news: Buffalo shooting suspect received a mental health evaluation last year after making threats against his high school, the police said. So here we have a mass shooting at a Tops grocery store in Buffalo, New York. 10 people are dead. At predominantly black neighborhood. I believe 8 of the dead were black and 2 were white. And the shooter is an anti-Semite and a neo-Nazi who committed the shooting. He wrote a 186-page manifesto outlining what his attacks would be. I have not read the manifesto. I don't know if you have. But he was known to police. He was known to authorities. And here we go again. You know, yet another terrorist that's either on the FBI watch list or known to law enforcement authorities. But this is what you get when you have a progressive movement, a liberal movement, a socialist communist movement that wants to defund police. You take away their ability to do what they do best, and that is investigate, and that is to preempt strikes like this. Of course, if you want to dissolve the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, you allow events like this to happen, because then you run strictly on emotion. And that's all the Democrat Party is doing today. And I'm sorry to get political on this, because now it's emotion. It's emotion with regards to Roe v. Wade and the leaked document. It's strictly emotion, because there is no decision on Roe v. Wade. And now you're going to have more of the same emotion and division, okay, by the chimpanzee in the White House, who will go to Buffalo tomorrow and certainly divide this nation. So the lawlessness of this president, who we know was not freely elected, when you have a person who does not respect the United States of America and the election process and is not duly elected in a free election, or why then would the person respect the rule of law and respect the U.S. Constitution? There have been other shootings that have occurred over the last, month in Brooklyn, 10 people shot, including 5 children, the subway shooter. Iowa nightclub, 2 dead, 10 injured. Sacramento, 2 separate shootings, 16 people gunned down. Another shooting in Sacramento, 4 people killed, including 3 children. Arkansas car show, 1 dead, 27 wounded. Vegas hookah bar shooting, 1 dead, 13 wounded. Virginia hookah bar shooting, 1 dead, 4 wounded. Where was Joe Bama when a terrorist attack occurred at a Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin? How many innocent people were run down and killed by a black nationalist? And where was Joe Bama? He was nowhere. But you see, Joe Bama couldn't be bothered because the weapon used was a vehicle, and it didn't fit the anti-American traitor agenda of dismantling the Second Amendment. Plus, the driver was a black nationalist. An eight-year-old was killed. Eight-year-old child was killed. Not to mention, there were several people in their 70s who were killed. One thing our founders did to codify the Second Amendment, which today's dictators and monarchs in Congress and the White House seem to totally disregard and implementing their unilateral authoritarian rulings. It's also known as an executive order, as a means in which Biden and his anti-American handlers get to usurp the U.S. Constitution. Now, here's a quote from Mark Alexander of the Patriot Post. To understand why socialist protagonists leading today's Democrat Party constantly endeavor to undermine the Second Amendment, look no further than the words of the primary author of our nation's Constitution, James Madison, in the most detailed exposition on the meaning in the Federalist Papers. In Federalist number 46, Madison wrote these timeless words. Now, this is in 1788, folks. 1788, James Madison wrote this. The advantage of being armed, which the Americans possess over the people of almost every other nation, forms a barrier against the enterprises of ambition more insurmountable than any. Likewise, Justice Joseph Story, who was appointed to the Supreme Court by Madison himself, wrote his commentaries on the Constitution of the United States in 1833. The right of the citizens to keep and bear arms has justly been considered as the palladium of the liberties of a republic, since it offers a strong moral check against usurpation and arbitrary power of the rulers, and will generally, even if these are successful in the first instance, enable the people to resist and triumph over them. 1833. The U.S. Supreme Court made that decision. The barrier against the enterprises of ambition and strong moral check against usurpation and arbitrary powers is precisely why Biden and his leftist cadres have as their ultimate objective the deconstruction and repeal of the Second Amendment. And Mark Alexander of the Patriot Post nailed it. One other comment. In 2010, Charles Krauthammer stated Barack Hussein Satoru Obama will systematically dismantle the U.S. Constitution. That was not hyperbole. And what we are seeing, it is happening. Al, you have comments. Go ahead. I'm done.
Well, let's look at the racial makeup, because all of the media oxygen has been going to this Buffalo shooting. We have the subway shooting, which you mentioned earlier. Frank James, black man, Nation of Islam follower, and a black supremacist, virtually no media. The Milwaukee shooting was done by a 60-year-old Asian man at a Presbyterian church, virtually no media coverage. The Buffalo shooting was by a 18-year-old white neo-Nazi, and that is all that the media is talking about. We have the Rainbow Coalition of shooters here, and they're only focusing on the white guy. What's the problem with that?
Well, because doesn't it fit the Democrat Communist Party's narrative of painting everybody as a white supremacist, a white nationalist, and this is just more white subjugation?
Right. Divide the population.
Mm-hmm. Divide.
Right now we have an Asian, a black, and a white all committing mass shootings, then society
will join together against these three, and it'll unify Americans rather than dividing Americans. But the media is purposefully and with propaganda expertise dividing the U.S. population to cause angst within our borders. And this is how you divide and conquer, because it's all about black versus white in this case, and they're completely forgetting about the Asians. And then the blacks are attacking the Asians. Nobody's talking about that.
None.
So these Asians, yeah. And they're just getting into the mass shooting. This is their break. This is their breakout moment, and they're getting ignored. Terrible. And I say this in jest, but our hearts and prayers and thoughts and prayers go out to the victims of these senseless acts of violence. And I wish that all of these mass shooters had taken their own lives to save us taxpayers a lot of money, because I don't care what they think. I don't care what's in their manifestos, because I have no use for their worldview.
And again, here we have – this kid's, what, 18 years old, and he last year he threatens a high school. Now, I thought at some point if you threaten violence against a high school, I mean, that's exactly why everybody goes hysterical, because it's a gun-free zone for one. You have all these unarmed victims, that potential victims. And, you know, where are the authorities? And where are the authorities? And I'll tell you where they are. This defund police movement, this defund the blue, is what you get. And this is exactly what these agitators on the left want. Obama is nothing but an agitator, encouraging civil unrest and an incitement to violence. And I'm sorry, this is nothing but more identity politics. And it's exploited by the frauds that are in Washington, D.C. And nothing more could be fraudulent than with Biden going to Buffalo tomorrow. And you know it will be a divisive speech that he will read from a teleprompter, a prepared speech meant to divide this country. And again, it'll be white supremacists. It'll be white nationalists. But the fact is the guy was an anti-Semite, and he was a neo-Nazi. And of course, this guy is going to get the press, but as you stated, the Asian guy who shot up in Wisconsin is not going to get the press. Oh, well, that didn't fit the narrative. The Waukesha killer, he's not going to get the press. A black nationalist who hated white people, and he attacks a Christian event, a Christmas parade. A child gets killed, not to mention 13 other children injured. And somehow the press just kind of, just pushes it aside. Damn it, it didn't fit the narrative. The guy used a vehicle. He didn't use a gun. If he had only used a gun at the parade, at least we could exploit that. And this is how these sick bastards think in Washington, D.C. And it's another reason why Joe Obama never made it up to Waukesha, Wisconsin. I mean, this is how fraudulent this sickness of political correctness and multiculturalism. It's a cancer in America, and it's the design. It's a planned cancer. It's a designed cancer. And it's, we Americans, we patriots are not taking this anymore. Trump awakened us. Trump, I wish you wouldn't tweet out. I wish you would. You know what? But when Trump left the White House walking to Marine One, he stopped and he talked to each and every reporter, each and every newsreader, and asked them a question. And if it took 15 minutes, he did 15. If it took 30 minutes in the heat, it took 30 minutes. This bozo, this front man, this little puppet, he can't take but two questions. And then he lies through his teeth, just like he did about the baby formula issue. Oh, well, if they would have known, what was his comment? He said, if we had mind readers, we would have known about it. Oh, and then somebody in the cabinet goes on TV and says, well, we've been dealing with this. We've known this back in February. And Biden, the blowhard, the liar, says that if we were mind readers, we would have – oh, here we go. Biden blames mind reading for slow response to baby formula shortage. Mind readers could have done a better job on baby formula crisis. Oh, really? And his excuse was, if you'd only been a mind reader, we could have got to it sooner. And then we find out that they've been dealing with this since February. Let's see, February, March, April, 4 months ago. One last thing, Al. I'm going to give a cry out to the White House, since Joe Obama is unaware that his administration has been dealing with the baby formula shortage that they've been shipping down to the borders, while American babies now have no baby formula. They've been dealing with it since February, and Joe Obama only knew about this last week. Somebody needs to tell this moron, okay, Joe Obama, that we have a gas problem in the United States, okay? Since Joe Obama doesn't really know what's going on, somebody needs to tell him that gas prices are at $4.50 a gallon, $5 a gallon, and they're killing the American people. And only if they had a mind reader, they would know what's going on instead of canceling leases. Oh, my gosh. Exactly. Crickets. Because they don't care. And as long as the American people suffer, you know what? You need to spend $58,000 on buying an electric car. If you can't find an electric car, buy yourself a bicycle. Okay? You don't need to go from Maryland to New Jersey. You know, take a train. You know, that's public transportation. Take a train. You know, there you go. Take a bus. Get on a Greyhound bus and go from Maryland to New Jersey. Because if you can't afford to put gas in your car, all the more reason to buy an electric car. You'll have to recharge it, though, you know, every 75 miles, but you're okay.
And then there was one other story that you wanted to touch on, was President Biden sending troops to Somalia.
Oh. How much of an influence is the one who doesn't have command of the English language, okay? How much control do they have, does the Muslim Brotherhood have in the White House? What kind
know.
Of
Did
a...
someone do something there?
Yeah. Yeah. Some people may have done something. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
What the? You know, President Trump terminated that for a reason. There is no reason for the American troops to be in Somalia. And now he's committed, what was it, 500 troops to Somalia? Why Somalia? Oh, because Al-Shabaab now has become a threat. Oh, okay. So you fuck up Afghanistan, and now we're going to go back into Somalia. We're going to go back into that shithole, okay? And you're going to expose U.S. troops to be what, Al? To be consultants. I remember that term from where? Oh, Vietnam. That's right. When John F. Kennedy, JFK, sent American troops over to Vietnam to be consultants.
Do you have any confidence
that it'll turn out well in Somalia?
I don't know. Sending infidel troops into an Islamic country to take out fellow Islamic terrorists or freedom fighters or jihadis, how's it going to work out for the infidel Americans? Unless he's sending hunter-killer teams there to take out Shabaab, which I would agree with is a problem, but the way he's doing this is ridiculous, especially he gives the Taliban, gosh, how many billions of dollars worth of free equipment, and then lets China take over all of their mining rights in Afghanistan to make the lithium, to mine the lithium for the electric cars that we're all going to have to buy. It's insanity.
And you want to talk about something that's hazardous to the earth. What are you going to do with those lithium batteries when they're no good? What do you do with them? You bury them. I mean, this is insane. You've created another environmental hazard, all because you want to sell your soul to the green scam.
Oh, did you see that video of the two electric buses? Or there was one electric bus that just ignited on fire.
Yes.
And it just burned and burned and burned. They couldn't put it out because the lithium fire was just so hot. And there was no fire. I mean, it was put up a smoke plume like nobody's business. Luckily, nobody got killed. But that was a warning sign that when these batteries go, they can be very, very dangerous, especially for first responders. Or if you have a car accident, you'll have a gasoline or a diesel fuel fire, which they have the retardant foam to take care of that. There's lithium fires. That's a whole nother story.
No, and the problem is that we have a retard in the White House who has not thought out this properly. But then again, in all fairness to that retard, he's got people pulling his strings. And, of course, they're doing the American people a tremendous disservice by going down this route. Because, like as you said, their first responders are going to be ill-prepared to deal with fires of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that the truth? Nobody's talking about that. No. You'll only hear that here on the Vito Esposito Show.
Wow. We can go on for another 2 hours, and I know you guys, you know, are probably getting tired of hearing our voices, but...
tired of hearing my own voice.
Speak for myself. Oh my gosh, it's just amazing what we are. What is this? Paris has taken all the buses out of service. I'll tell you. Yeah, oops. That's interesting, boy. We're going to have to check that one out. So thanks for posting that. Hey, tomorrow we've got Eric from Kafiristan with the Cross and the Crescent at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Wednesday, Hank Jones and Poly Sports. There's a possibility I might be sitting in for Hank on Wednesday. You know, we'll find out Wednesday. Thursday, we got Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Paul is the author of Cancer of Civilization Jihad. It's a great book. I suggest you can go to his website, or you can go to Amazon.com to purchase the book. Great read, and Paul does an outstanding job as usual. Andrew Harrod on Friday with Conservative Casual Friday, 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturday, Minister Osama Dakduk and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan is back with his interfaith dialogue, the real interfaith dialogue, folks. Check out Eric's interfaith dialogue show. It is a great show if you want to learn about Islam and Christianity. He does a fantastic job. And Monday, Al and I will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio every Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. with our great sidekick, the author, Curtis Bennett. Tuesday, Chief, Simple Facts of Life, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio, and that would be 6 p.m. Eastern Time. If you want a break from politics and Islam and you want a great self-help show, check out the Simone Nicole Show Wednesdays on Spreaker, Spreaker.com. It is Blog Talk Radio's sister network. And 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Simone Nicole Show. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, check her show out, 8 p.m. Thursday evenings. And you can go to AudreyRusso.com. Audrey's got a great show. She normally has three guests, and I always listen I always listen when Diana West is on it. For some reason, I love Diana West. I don't know what it is, but she just I just love her commentary, and she's an awesome interview. So, Al and I will be back next Monday. I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. It's a great blog spot if you want international news, national news. He has every type of news, and he works hard at putting it together, so it's a great blog spot. Ducky Northwest, nice to see you, Ducky. I Guy, my Faisal, Mama Mia, Boyd, the Alaskan, the great Alaskan. How you doing, Boyd? And thank you, Moving, for calling. And Sue from New Mexico, thank you, Sue. Nice to see you as well. And I know there was somebody else in the room, and I forgot who it was, but I apologize for forgetting who you are. I can't remember who it is. But anyway, Al, any parting shot?
Adios, amigos. See you on Monday.
Thank you all for joining us. A possibility of a Hank show on Wednesday at 5:30. You all be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. Take care, man. God bless you guys. Ciao. on target.
Oh, you're such a professional.
I can read a clock.
Yeah, but you can do the math that goes with it.
That's
and
true.
And you're counting down instead of forward. It's daunting. Yeah, not everybody can do that.
It's an art, I tell you, it's an art.
I don't know, your talent's just underrated.
Underreported.
Yep.
Oh, you know, I'll tell you,
playing,
go ahead. I'm done. Go ahead.
So you're playing tomorrow. Good.
I don't
name
know.
On the list.
What list? No, really? Not me.
Hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I can't tomorrow.
Anyway.
Okay. First of all, that Judge Thomas forum, when he was at that forum, I just liked his comments, and I find it troubling, a couple of troubling things, and the most troubling is the fact that a college of higher learning, an esteemed Ivy League college does not recognize one of their students, one of their graduates.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I find that absolutely incredible. Is this how far the left has gone to compromise free speech in America? I mean, wow.
Where did he go? Yale?
He went to Yale.
So the Yale Law School does not honor a Supreme Court justice who graduated from as an alma mater?
A black Supreme Court justice at that.
Hmm.
Right?
Any Supreme Court justice. If you're a law school and one of your graduates become the SCOTUS, that's like he's now your poster boy for the next 25 years to go to that school.
Yeah.
That would draw in potential candidates, you would think.
I mean, you have a sitting Supreme Court justice who received a JD degree from your institution, Yale Law School, and you don't recognize him? That is unconscionable what we are seeing today from these colleges who at one time professed to be the bastion of free speech.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, if the SCOTUS came from Florida State, I would be one proud alumni.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you would think that would add prestige to bringing more and more people into your institution.
Mm-hmm. You would think.
Oh, my God.
Even in other departments.
Right?
Yeah. Like you could join the theater school there and go, oh, they have a SCOTUS that went there. I got to go join their theater department. And nobody would say anything to you negative about that. Think about that.
I want to look up to see where Scalia was. You know, and what it boils down to is here you have a man who was what? Who espouses the he's more of a constitutionalist, and somehow this university, Yale University, has a problem with a Supreme Court justice who holds the Constitution near and dear? Let's see. Scalia went to Georgetown.
The Bushes went there, too. Aren't the Bushes graduates of Yale, too?
Yes, yep, George H.W., and so is John Lurch Carey.
Hmm.
They were part of that what was it? Was that skullduggery or something like that? What was it called?
Oh, the secret society.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. God almighty. I mean, it's truly incredible what we're seeing happening today. And I just, you know, talk about an institution that's now a racist institution. For suddenly the color of Justice Thomas's skin is irrelevant, and yet these same frauds on the left will call someone a racist at the heartbeat if they're on the right side, perceived to be on the right side of the aisle, or a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Scalia was the first Italian American to sit on the Supreme Court.
Was he? I didn't know
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well, he had his Gentiles, man.
Yeah, it was a white guy's club, and they let the Italians in.
They let the Italians in. How you doing?
It's going to go to so many different racial places.
I know.
I was channeling Blazing Saddles, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do that.
No, I don't blame you. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I can't believe that we've come down this road this far. And it just, you know, I think I said it last week, you know, we started this station and I can remember we were sitting at that restaurant and we were wondering how we were going to come up with enough of an agenda for a 30-minute show, you know, and, well, is there enough information that we can do 30 minutes, and how can we do 30 minutes, and now we're doing 2 hours, we're doing seven, you know, the network's on for 7 days a week, and there is a plethora of information and news stories, and then we sit here and we worried about Islam destroying America from within, but we have our own, you know, people inside of government. Forget about Islam. Islam is, they've attached themselves to the Democrat Party, and the Democrat Party, along with those Republicans who are nothing but rhinos, are doing the same.
Yeah. Yep, the Marxists are now enemy number one.
McCarthy was right, wasn't he?
Oh, God, is he right?
He was way ahead of his time. Oh my God!
Yeah, we need another McCarthy, because the one we have in the Republican Party is kind of a waste of space.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's an establishment. He may as well be a Democrat, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, who's going to step up?
We need a Marxist lightning striker.
You know, I guess I was surprised that what's that lady's name from the representative from Elise Stefanik? You see that little video?
Yeah.
That was surprising.
I didn't see the video, but supposedly she's got a chair now. She's a chairmanship. She navigated those waters pretty well, I guess. What did you hear about her?
She was being peppered with questions as she finished some speech. She had a bunch of the swamp standing behind her, and she's walking back. She's walking away, and a reporter says, "Are you MAGA or ultra MAGA?" And she went, "I'm ultra MAGA, and I'm proud of it." Boom, and it's like, what? And I had to listen to it again. She's unabashed. That's right.
I like
good for her.
And that Bobert, she's a little firebrand too.
She is. You know, I'm hoping that Bobert and Marjorie Greene, Stefanik, Some other members of the House will, you know, if a tide comes in November, that these individuals can rise up, Jim Jordan can rise up as leaders and start replacing all of these old establishment farts and start effecting change. And some of that, this spending is out of control. It's gotten absolutely incredibly ridiculous. You got Nancy Pelosi lying her ass off. Did you hear she started a liquor store, I guess? Did I hear that right? A liquor store in the House at a taxpayer expense? Yeah.
A liquor store?
Yes, in the United States House. I don't know. I thought the Babylon Bee was doing this, but it wasn't. I heard it before in the show, and it's like, and I asked my wife, I stuck my head out of my office and I asked my wife, she goes, I didn't hear anything about it. It's like, really? I mean,
what, do they have
the
a vending
case?
Machine with McAllen 18-year-old in it and some Gentleman Jack and maybe a bottle of Three Fingers tequila?
Get a shot of vodka beforehand? Importing Russian vodka, you know, wouldn't put it by her? I mean, it just,
no.
Wow.
A liquor store? I'm surprised
only
you can even drink.
Only for members of Congress. I guess since
they fenced it in, it's hard to get in and out, so you need a liquor store that's handy because you can't go over to the corner. Which,
that's
come
true.
To think of it, I don't think there is a liquor store within easy walking distance of the Capitol.
Well, that's interesting.
Never really thought about it.
So where the hell is Nasty getting her vodka? Man, so that's why she started it.
Yeah, well, she should just have a bottle in the bottom drawer of her desk.
They're so disingenuous. It's just unbelievable. Oh my God, what we're seeing today happen is just, it's unconscionable. Never ever thought we'd see this type of disrespect of our country. Never ever thought.
Yeah. While Rome burns. She opens a liquor store.
Yeah. Yeah, priorities are just not there. Spending, just go ahead and just spend, you know, just irresponsibly, recklessly spending, and then proclaim that you're going to get, you know, lower the deficit. As long as you keep, you know, mimicking these phony sound bites, people start to believe it. Get rid of, you know, college debt. Oh.
Well, maybe the liquor store will be a revenue generator.
Oh, they'll find a way for the American taxpayer to pay for it. Believe me.
The laundered money.
This is going to be. This is another $25. So I'm going to have the taxpayers pay. This is my Franker privilege.
I haven't heard that either. That's the funniest thing.
Oh my God. All right, Al. Have a good evening.
I'm surprised they didn't open up a cannabis store next to the liquor store.
A dispensary, yes.
A dispensary, that's the word I was looking for.
Not that I go there, but yes.
Yes, they should have a cannabis dispensary and get with the times next to the liquor store.
Oh my God! You can't make
all the
shit
elected
up,
officials over 50 will go to the liquor store, and everybody under 50 will go to the cannabis store to get their gummies.
Oh!
And then nothing will get done, and America will become a better place.
Yeah, America will be a better place. Man,
they're all drunk and stoned, and not. Yeah. Doing this crap-ass legislation. The $40 billion going to Ukraine on top of the other billions of dollars going to Ukraine. And I tell you, all those Republicans that voted for it, they need to be part of those Republicans that need to be, replaced.
Yeah, I honestly, we can't afford it, you know? And we're spending $40 billion on top of the tens of billions, hundreds of billions that we've already spent. And it's just, we can't support our senior citizens. who many of which are living below poverty, and we're going to send $40 billion for what? I mean, I understand there's something going on, but you know what? Steny Hoyer stated that we are at war on the House floor, and that's just an absolute lie. And we're not at war. I mean, Ukraine's not a member of NATO. Ukraine is not a member of the European Union. We're not at war. It's unfreaking believable what the Democrat Party is doing. And it's okay now because they're in charge. They've changed the rules. Okay. And in the process, 4 years ago, or 2 years ago, they demonized Trump at every angle. And all he did was try to avert war,
mm-hmm.
avoid war. When he extended the olive branch over to North Korea to try to build some sort of dialogue for peace, he was excoriated by the same party that is trying to get us involved in a war with Russia. It's just unconscionable what we're seeing happening, which goes to tell you, and in the 2000 Mules video documentary, Larry Elder has it right. Trump was excoriated, maligned every single day, and it was a planned attack. And he was absolutely right. Every day of his presidency, no matter what that man did, and all he did was be a champion for the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Well, thank you for that ray of sunshine. And
thank you.
I'm going to go eat some dinner.
And I just finished my 4 espresso. Oh, I got one little left. I had half of it going today. All right.
All right. I will talk to you later. Great show, as always.
Yeah, likewise, man. And bye, Sue. You take care. Sue's treatment is working, and it's so good to hear that the treatment that she's taking right now, and she's doing it the practitioners who are not more holistic style, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's working. It's working for the first time. I mean, thank God for that. So keep her in your prayers. I'll talk to you later, Al.
All right. Adios.
Ciao.
That's all, folks.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.